Good morning.
Good morning.
We got a few announcements here, and then
we got some others.
Yeah. November 5th and the 9th, there will be the prayer revival. November 8th is the day to vote, and that'll be here, right? Okay. November 17th, teenagers, senior adult events at the Freeman Heights Baptist from 11 to 1. November 17th is the deacons meeting, and then the November 20th, we'll be having our business meeting during the evening service.
Hey, did y'all know we were having a ladies' retreat this weekend? Are y'all coming?
Yes.
Great. Well, we are going to leave. A van will leave here about 5 o'clock on Friday evening if you would like to ride a van. We're going to meet at the Ozark Natural Science Center. We're going to be there till about noon on Saturday. We have some flyers and information on a little table out there. Please come and join us. It'll be a lot of fun, and we would love to know if you're coming by today. We'll scoot you in. We're kind of soft-hearted that way if you can't, but if you could let us know by today, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. I pray for the damage done in Green Forest and everywhere around. Lord, I pray you be with those affected by that. God, thank you for all you've blessed us with, Lord. I pray for this message Brother Lane's about to bring us, and I pray you just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, and we'd have a record of your visit. Our men will come and receive the morning offering at this time, and one of our men will be leading us in prayer.
None above Him, none before Him. That's my God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the many blessings that You shower on us, so many, Lord, that we just can't count them all. Thank You for this time of giving, Lord, that we may give back just a portion of that which You bless us with. Use this offering this morning, Lord, and this week that You might further Your kingdom, Lord, and just spread Your word to a lost and dying world. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You're in charge of Children's Church. We're going to dismiss that group at this time. Thank you for your service, for helping us, doing the Lord's work. Two or three things I want to bring to your attention. One is we'll be continuing our study in the book of Revelation tonight in the gym, and we'd like for you to be there. I think it'd be very educational for us, and if we're leaving it open as far as treats and drinks and stuff, if you'd like to bring something, that'll be just fine. Tables will be set up. We hope it'll be a leisurely time and folks can have a snack and watch the video at the same time, take notes, do whatever they need to do. We'd like for you to be a part of that. This coming Sunday, we're going to have a guest speaker. Some of you already know about that, but Dr. Leon Sykes, who worked for us for a number of years here as associate pastor, will be bringing the message next Sunday morning. And so you want to be here for that and encourage Brother Leon. He's coming for a visit, so we're going to give him an opportunity to speak and share his heart. How long's it been? How long have they been going? Anybody know? 3 or 4 years? 5? Time passes fast, doesn't it? Miss Janice, I think I saw where she had passed 2 years ago, and that's pretty amazing that time moves right along. Gwen, I want to express our appreciation to the church for this past month that's been Pastor Appreciation. You surely have expressed your appreciation to us, and we really do appreciate that. It's been great. There's not enough words to be able to express mine and Gwen's feelings about how blessed we feel, overly blessed to be able to be here at Osage and to pastor Osage Baptist Church, and to be a part of your lives and for you to be a part of ours. It sure is a great blessing. We count it an honor. We do not take that lightly and do not take this position lightly, but appreciate the way that you honor the pastor and his wife, and we sure have enjoyed lots of years of that. I've told this story a lot of times, but I'll just tell it again to make emphasis. When the pulpit committee came from Osage to Tuckerman to talk to me about coming here as pastor, I met with the committee in my office there at the church, and the committee left, and Mike Dishroon stayed back a little bit. And he said, you know, you've heard that when a pastor first comes to a church, there's a honeymoon stage that he's in. When he first comes, everybody loves him. He loves everybody. He can't do anything wrong. He said, I just want you to know, if the Lord were to work it out and you were by some chance come to Osage, you will not have a honeymoon. But he said, I think if you'll stay, it'll come. We're waiting on that. No, I'm kidding. It has come a long time ago. And it's been a great 31 years. And you've made it great. You've made it easy. And you've been very supportive. And we certainly do appreciate the church for that. Hope you'll come to Dogs and Horses. It's at our house, and it's the 19th. We'll have a bonfire, and we'll have lots of good things to eat. Michael Strauss is going to bring his cooker and do the cooking again. He'll have a lot of stuff to eat. You'll bring desserts, and those will be delicious. And bring your lawn chair and sit around the fire and visit and let the kids ride the horses. If you have a gentle horse whose name is not Buck, then you bring him or her, and we'll use him to lead the kids around that have, many of them have not ridden before. Some of them have, and some of them, the only place they've ever ridden was at Dogs and Horses. And my granddaughter was asking about when are we going to have dogs and horses. Yesterday she was asking about that, and I said it's going to be the 19th. So get ready for that, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. And please come be a part of that. Be there about 4 o'clock, and we'll eat about 5, and the kids will have a big time. We'll have a big time. Just stay until you see one of us get the clock up and start winding it and put the cat outside. It'll be time to go. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. And we're in the 4th chapter. What I want to do is read our passage first, and then I want to go to the introduction. So let you stand with me, and let me read Romans 4, and beginning with verse 16, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, and then I want to get back into the introduction of chapter 4 and talk a little bit about those other things. Therefore, they always taught us in Bible school when you say all that, therefore, see what it was there for. And so we're going to try to figure that out this morning. What is that therefore, therefore? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law. In other words, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. But to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. Now look at this. Who quickeneth the dead. That means he brings the dead back to life. Who quickeneth the dead. And I love this part of this verse. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's the character of God. He calls those things that are not as though they were. So whatever is going on in your life, whatever is going on in my life, those things that as far as society is concerned, as far as this world is concerned, it looks like it's not, God can change that so that it is. Things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. And he's talking about Abraham. Of course, the whole thing is about Abraham. And the deadness of Abraham's body was past the age of bearing. Sarah was past the age of bearing. And yet they had a son. God calls those things that are not as though they are. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not consider those things. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, I love this, what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to perform. Wow. Isn't that true? I mean, amen goes there, right? And therefore, it was imputed. You ought to know what that word means by now. Therefore, it was imputed. It was put down to our account and to Abraham's account. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. Here we go. We're getting ready to be included here. That it was imputed to him. But for us also. To whom it shall be imputed, that righteousness placed on our account. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You may be seated. Now, I want us to back up some and talk about these verses that came before this. When he said, therefore, because of these verses that came before this, in verses 1 through 8, teaches Abraham's righteousness apart from works. I've been reading some statistics this week. Barnum polls, for one thing, as he's does a lot of research and asks a lot of questions, and I made a startling discovery that among evangelical churches, that's churches like ours, the members were asked this question: can you be good enough to go to heaven? Can you live a good enough life that you would be accepted into heaven? And Barnum discovered 41% of those churches that had been listening to preaching, had been attending evangelical churches that supposedly believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of truth, had come to a place some way in their doctrine to have a wrong idea about how to get to heaven. And 41% of them thought that you could be good enough to go to heaven. Now, I hope that no one in this building today believes that you can be good enough to go to heaven, because you absolutely cannot be. Amen. Amen. I hope that 31 years of preaching would have convinced you that you cannot work your way to heaven, that you cannot be good enough to go to heaven. There is no possible way. Folks, go home and look in the mirror if you believe that. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Now, I believe that there's a lot more to it than that. But you cannot be saved by works. And that is what he's been talking about here, teaching Abraham's righteousness apart from works. In verse 5, I love this verse: but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. That's the gospel. That Abraham believed on him that justified the ungodly. That's us. That's me and that's you. You'd say, well, I'm not ungodly. Well, if you're not saved, you are. And if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God living in you and blowing a whistle when you do wrong. Now, I'm going to get after it here, so fasten your seatbelt. Verses 9 through verse 12. Abraham's righteousness apart from circumcision. If you're dependent, and this is what he says in verses 9 through 12. He said, did Abraham get that righteousness before his circumcision or after his circumcision? After he had been given the act of circumcision. Was it before or was it after? Well, when you study the Scripture, and here Romans explains to us here in the Scripture, that it was before. He got this imputed righteousness from God because he believed in the one that could justify the ungodly. He believed against hope that his body could produce a child. He believed against hope that the body of his wife Sarah could produce a child, because God said that it was so. And it makes those things that are not as though they are. And so it was before circumcision. So I gather this from this passage. Now, we're not Jews. We don't believe that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. But the Jews believe that you had to be circumcised to be saved. And so Paul goes through this big rigmarole of explaining to them that no. And it's part of that which God had given to them. But it's not that which saved their soul. It was believing in the God that justifies the ungodly. So, do you get saved before you get baptized? or after you get baptized. Let's bring it down home. Let's bring it to a Baptist level. There are folks that would teach you that you cannot be saved unless you are baptized. I believe in baptism. I believe you should be. I believe that the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That baptism is an act of obedience that you and I are to participate in after we get saved. It does not save your soul. It's believing in God that saves your soul. It's an act of the Holy Spirit wherein He comes into your heart and changes your life and gives you a new heart. And then you follow Him, you're obedient to Him, and every time that someone receives Christ as their personal Savior and they follow Him in believer's baptism, it paints a picture to the world, to them, and to the congregation of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. In the likeness of His death. And when you're one of my candidates and you're standing in front of me and I'm getting ready to baptize you, I'd say, here we go. Here we go. Getting ready to go under in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection into a new life. Into a new life. Did that save them? I'm telling you folks that you can be baptized until you know every Menahbite's first name in the creek, and it will not save your soul. But a new heart saves your soul. And that's what the Bible is teaching us here in this fourth chapter. It's not an act that you go through. It's not works that saves you. It's a change of your heart. It's repenting of your sin and turning from your sin and turning to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I want to follow you. In verses 13 through 15, Abraham's righteousness apart from the law. In verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness, the Bible says, through the righteousness of faith. In verses 16 through verse 25, Abraham's righteousness was by faith. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that he had promised, what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. What's the bottom line? Ephesians 2, verse 8 and verse 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So you ask, if this is all true, and it is, what difference does it make how I live my life? Wouldn't it make sense that it wouldn't make any difference? If that is true, I was born with sin nature. I have the nature to sin. And I think that there's some things that has swayed on my conscience from being raised the way that I was raised, that there's some things that I wouldn't do. I wouldn't steal. My daddy told us it was wrong to steal. Have I ever stolen? Yeah, I have. My dad thought honesty, and he wasn't a Christian at that time, but honesty was his thing. You be honest. You tell the truth. Tell the truth if it takes to hide. So I was taught to tell the truth. That mean I never lied? Yeah, I've lied. But there were some things that I didn't do because of some things that I'd been taught early on. So there came a time when I asked Jesus into my heart as Savior, and He changed my life. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. That word literally means creation. He's a new If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So when that happened in my life, it wasn't just the things that I had been taught or the things that I had read in the Bible that was wrong for me to do, that I would not do. But because there was the Spirit of the living God living inside me that was blowing the whistle when I would do wrong. He was living inside me. He is living inside me. He's living inside you if you know Him as Savior, if you know Jesus as Savior. And He blows the whistle when you do wrong. And so if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So now, why is it important for me to live a life without sin? Now, it doesn't mean that you won't sin. It doesn't mean that I haven't sinned, because you will. Now, there's a group or two out there, I know of one group at least, that believes that you can reach a point of sinless perfection. Paul didn't believe you could, because he said, I pressed toward the mark of the high calling. He said, I hadn't reached it yet, but I pressed toward it. He was a Baptist. If he'd have been a Nazarene, he would have thought he could have reached sinless perfection, I guess. But because he was a Baptist, he knew he couldn't. I thought you'd laugh over that. You didn't. But I'm a new creature. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, why should I live a life that brings honor to the Lord? Let's look at that, would you? Over in the book of Hebrews. Get to Revelation, you've went too far. Hebrews, James. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. 11:12. And look at verse 8. Okay, if you're taking points, point one is that you live a life that brings honor to God because you're a new creature and the Holy Spirit of God's living in you. That's one reason that you don't do as you please, because you're a new creature and the Holy Spirit is living in you. The second reason is that you don't want God to spank you for doing wrong. Now, there's some folks have a problem with people saying, with me saying, that God punishes sin after you become a Christian. They don't like for you to say that God punishes sin after you become a Christian. Well, you know, we had a peach tree out in our front yard, and we never was able to enjoy any kind of peach dessert because our mama kept the limbs all pulled off of it to give me and my brother whippings with it. And you know, When that whipping was going on, I wasn't trying to be theologically correct by saying, am I getting punished or am I getting corrected? Because I couldn't tell the difference. But it had the same results. That spanking had the same results. I had a guy to tell me one time, he said, you know, when your dad is giving you a whipping, I can tell you how to keep it from being as bad. Anybody in here still getting whoopings? Now, they call them spankings, but when my dad gave one, it was, or my mother, it was a whooping. You knew the difference between a spanking and a whipping. She got through you with you, you knew that. Well, this is what he said. He said he figured out that when his dad was giving him a spanking, if he'd get real close to him, it wouldn't be as bad. He'd stand up real close to him and he couldn't, you know, it wasn't like he was out there at the end of his arm. He was getting a full swing. But he'd get up real close to him, and that made a good illustration. Because when God's spanking us, we need to get just as close to him as we can. We need to just get just as close to him as possible. Now, you may not have any problem with this difference in theology between punishment and correction, and I don't care which one you call it, but whichever one it is, God gives it to us whenever we step out of line. Let me tell you what Hebrews says here in Hebrews 12 verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, now you can call that punishment, you can call it correction, you can call it a spanking, whatever you want to call it, chastisement, whereof all are partakers. And are you bastards and not sons? You're not disciplined. You're not a true son. That's Lanny's version. Over in the book of James, gosh, I got to hurry. Over in the book of James, the second chapter, and we're going to start in the second chapter in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, some translation says, can that kind of faith save him? Can that faith save him? So, even in this day, people believe that didn't matter how you lived your life. And so in verse 15, he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be you warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. One quick last passage, Matthew 5. Look at verse 14. I like to start with verse 13. You're the salt of the earth. So who's he talking about here? Talking about people who are born again, people who are Christians, who are followers of Jesus. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, its saltness, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth, you might want to underline this, good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. If you're a Christian or you claim to be a Christian, you're not being salt. The Bible says you're good for nothing. Verse 14 says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now watch this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, what's those next two words? Good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's all I got time for. Let's stand together. Most important decision that you'll ever make in all of your life is what you do with Jesus. Doesn't matter circumstances that you came from. Doesn't matter what kind of religion you was raised up in. The Bible teaches that you put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. You've not done that. I want to give you an opportunity to do it today. Or if you want to come later and talk to me, that'd be good too. You're here today and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe it's through recommit your life, heart to the Lord. Come today. Maybe it's to come and pray for someone else. Maybe there's something else on your heart, something burdening you today that you want to come lay it on the altar, something that you need to give the Lord today. We're going to give you that opportunity, and we're going to sing a song and give you an opportunity to come right now. As we sing, you come.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful day you have given us to come and to hear your word. Lord, I want to pray that we apply this word to our hearts. I pray for as we go home our separate ways, I pray that you'll watch over us and bless us. I pray that you'll burden our hearts, Lord, that we won't come back tonight and hear your word again. These things I say in Jesus' name. Amen.